We're turning to the book of Exodus, chapter 30. And there we'll read God's word together, Exodus chapter 30. And we commence to read at verse number 11. We've been singing there that hymn about being counted in, numbered among the Lord's people. And this is the theme of the passage that we will now read here in Exodus chapter 30. Commencing our reading at verse number 11. Exodus 30 and the verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. Ending there, that verse, since it completes the passage and the thought that is contained in it, and we trust the Lord will bless the reading, and we know, of course, He will bless the reading of His own word to every heart and to every soul. Now, please turn your Bible to the passage that we read together in Exodus 30. Exodus chapter 30. And with God's word open there, we will bow in prayer together and seek the Lord's help and blessing upon His own truth. Let each believer do so. Let's all unitedly lift up our hearts to God and call upon Him, seek His face for the blessing of heaven upon His word even this night. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee and we wait in Thy presence in Jesus' name. We thank Thee that He alone is the Savior of men. And, O Lord, every true believer is able to say that our souls have found a resting place. We thank Thee that Christ is the foundation, the only one laid down by God, and to whom the Scriptures point as being the Savior of men. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the security, for the peace and the sufficiency found in Jesus Christ to save the soul, to reconcile us to God, to bring us out of our own fallen state, our wicked state, into one of being accepted in the Beloved, covered with His righteousness, indwelt by His Spirit, washed in His redeeming blood. And, O Lord, we thank Thee, therefore, for all that Christ is unto men. Lord, we pray this evening, Lord, that Thou wilt deal with souls as they hear Thy word. Thy word is quick and powerful. The entrance of it brings light. And therefore we pray, O God, that Thou wilt anoint the preaching of the word. Thou wilt apply the preaching of the word. Thou wilt send it forth this night. And may it find a resting place in good ground, prepared by the Holy Spirit. And may there be fruit brought forth that will indeed last and remain. Hear and answer prayer and abide with us. We pray this all in Jesus' name and for His sake and for His eternal glory. Amen and amen. Our text this evening is verse number 12 of this passage, Exodus chapter 30 and the verse number 12. And the Lord is speaking to Moses to give him instruction concerning the particular matter of which we have read. And he says this, "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them." Now the readers of the book of Exodus will know that a large section of this book is given over to details concerning the construction of the tabernacle and details of the furnishing of that tabernacle, the tabernacle of Moses. But it would be wrong for us to see nothing more in these details than the mere physical dimension in terms of the building of a place of worship to serve Israel while they journeyed through the wilderness, and then, of course, also when they entered into the land of promise. Rather, there is here in this passage, and indeed in all the sections where you have all these details about the tabernacle, another dimension altogether, namely the gospel dimension, in terms of the portrayal of the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the full redemption that is obtained by the sinner through Him and through Him alone. Now, it's only when we see that there is this gospel dimension that we will have a true understanding of the meaning of the tabernacle. And that is a point that is very, very important when we come to look at this particular passage this evening. It's a passage in which reference is made to the numbering of the men of Israel, a numbering in which it was commanded that every man who was to be counted in had to pay a certain sum of money, namely a half shekel of silver. Now, on the physical level again, when that money was given and collected, it was used in order to the construction of certain parts of the tabernacle, and you may read of that in other places. And also, it was used for the crafting of some of the various furnishings that were used in the worship carried on in the tabernacle. But as I've already noted with you, there's a gospel dimension to all this. And therefore, the gospel significance of this detail about the giving of the half shekel of silver must be sought, and it must be established in order to understand fully the truth that is being taught and being presented here in this marvelous passage. It is obvious, therefore, that the gospel and the spiritual element in the ceremonial law that's in view here goes much deeper than Israel's tabernacle worship. I would suggest to you that what we have in this passage is typical of the great gospel truth of being numbered among the people of God. Now, in the books of Moses, such as Exodus here, and also the book of Numbers, you will find that on various occasions there was a numbering of the nation of Israel. In fact, the book of Numbers in our English Bibles derives its title from that very fact, that very practice of the numbering of the people. At the beginning of the book of Numbers, and then at the end of the book of Numbers, you will find two separate occasions when the nation was numbered, and all who belonged to Israel were on those occasions counted in. And we're taught by that, that the Lord has a number of the names and of the individuals who truly belong to Him. You see, the numbering of sinners truly saved by God's grace is revealed in Scripture in other direct statements as well as by type in what we see here in Exodus or in Numbers even and in other parts of the writing of Moses. We have the direct statements such as 2 Timothy 2:19, where it says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." Or in Revelation 7, verse 9, it speaks of a great multitude which no man can number. And the inference is that while no man is able to number the people of God, the Lord knows Every one of them. I was thinking about that early this evening. In fact, during the prayer meeting tonight, what a marvelous thing this is. A great multitude that no man is able to number. That's the number of the full company of all those who will be in heaven. It is an innumerable throng. No man will be able to compute the number that will comprise the redeemed hosts of heaven. But the Lord knows. Where man fails, God does not fail. And in His infinite mind, the Lord knows every one of those who are His. The Lord knoweth them that are His, we read there in 2 Timothy. A great multitude that no man can number, but the Lord knows them all. And in Psalm 87 and verse 6, the psalmist says this, "The Lord shall count. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people." The Lord has a census of all those who truly belong to Him. All these verses remind us clearly of the numbering of those who are saved by the Lord. A spiritual numbering, a counting up of all those souls who truly belong to the Lord, who will be with Him forever in glory. Oh, praise the Lord tonight. The Lord knows every one of them. The Lord has them all counted. And when the Lord brings them all home, there will not be one of them missing. Not one of them will be absent. As we say, or we sing in that old gospel hymn, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, and I trust that you will be there." You see, the point that's being emphasized is that it is only those who are numbered and recognized by the Lord who will be with Him in glory. Let me say this. It is an instinctive thing in mankind to be counted in, whatever the society or the company might be that we consider. Of course, there are some companies you wouldn't want to be counted into, but taking companies that are attractive or societies of people that are worthy of being part of, it is a natural thing to desire to be counted in. No one likes to be excluded. And that's a natural thing. That's a natural longing. And it carries over into the spiritual realm. I don't believe that there's a person in this meeting this evening who is rational enough and sensible enough to say, with regard to the great counting in of the Lord and the great numbering of His people, "Well, I don't want to be part of that company." There are those sitting here tonight who aren't saved, but I believe in your heart, you would say, "Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in." To quote from the line, or from a line of the old Negro spiritual, "Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in." You think of the gathering home of God's people. You think of the glory of heaven. You believe these things. I am sure to some degree you think about them. You dwell on them. And you say to yourself, "Though I am not yet saved, yet I long to be part of that company, and I long to be numbered with those people, and I truly wish to be there." But let me remind you something. It's one thing to wish to be part of the company, to yearn to be numbered with God's people. It's another thing altogether, actually, to be part of it. Don't be like Balaam. We'll think more about Balaam a little later tonight. But just to mention him right here, Balaam said this one day, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." A very worthy and commendable wish. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. But while Balaam uttered that wish and that longing, Balaam died among the enemies of God and His people. And as far as the record of Scripture is concerned, we do not believe that Balaam's death was the death of the righteous, that his last end was the end of the righteous. He died in his sin. You see, you can wish and long all you want and dream about being part of the company of God's people, but that does not bring you in. There's something else. And it's right before us here tonight. Something else concerning this whole issue of being numbered among the Lord's people. And we're going to look at it tonight. We're going to consider it by the help of God. And the first thing we notice from our text is that only ransomed sinners are numbered among the people of God. Only ransomed sinners are numbered among the people of God. Look at verse 12, our text again. And it refers to those who are numbered, giving a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. Those are important words. Those who are numbered give a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. The gospel truth that is revealed right there is that those who are recognized as belonging to the Lord are ransomed people, ransomed sinners, according to this verse. Now, the word for ransom here, let me say right away, is a word that means atonement. In fact, in this verse, verse 12, and also, verses that follow on from verse 12, you will find the word atonement three times. In verses 15 and 16, the end of the verse 15 says, to make an atonement for your souls. And then verse 16, thou shalt take the atonement money. And then the end of verse 16, to make an atonement for your souls. And in each case, in those three usages of the word atonement, the original Hebrew word is the very same word that is translated ransom in verse number 12. So we could read verse 12 this way, an atonement for his soul unto the Lord. And when you think of a ransom, when you think of an atonement, when you think of the whole transaction that's in view here in these verses, we immediately think of a price being paid. A ransom speaks of a price. And therefore, we are learning, we are seeing here, that since only ransomed sinners are numbered among God's people, they are a people concerning whom a price has been paid. In the realm of atonement, in the realm of a covering for their sin, for that's, as we will see, what the word means and signifies, concerning all that, a price has been given and has been paid. Now, my friend, that ransom price, we need not wonder what it is, because the Bible makes it absolutely clear. The ransom price is the life and the death and the bloodshedding of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord uses the word ransom. This is the point I'm showing to you. That word ransom has to do with the paying of a price. A ransom for the soul is a price paid for the soul. And right here, as we will see by the help of the Lord, there's a tremendous portrayal of the ransom price that our Savior did pay. Let me just comment on that at this point. You are aware of the Lord's words, maybe, in Matthew 20, 28, and Mark 10, 45. The two verses are the same. And the Lord says this, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And there the Lord uses the word ransom. And that word ransom, in that verse, Matthew 20, 28, is a word that's found in various forms many times in the New Testament in relation to Christ and his death and his precious blood and the atoning work that he did at the cross when he died for men. The word is used over and over again. Now, going back to the Old Testament, remember the word ransom means atonement. Leviticus 17, verse 11 lays down a law that stands for all Scripture. And that law is this. It is the blood that maketh atonement. Remember the word means ransom. It is the blood that maketh atonement or ransom for the soul. So when our Lord said that he had come not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, he was talking about his own precious blood, because the law is, it's the blood that makes the ransom, the atonement for the soul. Get that straight tonight. Every sinner here needs to recognize that. There is no other price that God will accept, no other ransom payment that God will accept, other than the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, and I firmly believe that right in this verse, the Apostle Peter is referring back to Exodus 30 and some of the things that he says here. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Now why would Peter specifically mention silver and gold? Simply because silver was the ransom money back there in Exodus 30. And gold as well was often used in Israel's ceremonial affairs with regard to worship, with regard to appearing before God. And Peter says here so clearly that man is not redeemed with that, silver and gold. And then he says this, "From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." What is that? Your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers? It is this. It is your sin. There's one thing that you've inherited from your fathers, and that's a sinful nature. You may not have inherited anything else by way of worldly goods or money or whatever, but there's one thing that your father and your mother passed down to you, and that is a vain conversation. That's a way of speaking of man's sin, man's wickedness, the transmission of a sinful nature from generation to generation. A wicked heart and all that goes with it. You received it. It's passed down. You have that nature, that heart of corruption, that life that's marked by being fallen and sinful in the sight of God. It is the possession of every one of us here this evening. And from that we need to be redeemed. We need to be delivered and set free. And the redemption price is not silver and gold. It's an amazing study. I just pause and say this, and I wish I had time to take you through all the verses tonight. I remember doing this one time, and it's remarkable, in the Old Testament especially, how many verses there are which actually state their silver and their gold will not deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. You do it yourself, believer, sometime. Take your concordance, look up all the verses, and you'll find that what Peter is talking about here is reflected in all those verses. What is the Lord telling us? He's telling us that nothing by way of any human power, human energy, human payment, human work can redeem the soul. So what is it? Verse 19. It is the precious blood of Christ. So we have the Word of God speaking clearly on these things. The Holy Spirit makes it clear. It is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed in his atoning death that makes a ransom for the soul. Now if you go back with me to Exodus chapter 30 here, you will notice that there are details laid down concerning that ransom money as was stipulated by God to Moses that point us so clearly to our Lord Jesus Christ. For example, we're taught here that the Lord's ransom, the payment that Christ has made, is essential. It says in verse 12, "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord." You will see by those very words, by those very terms, that the atonement money had to be given. There was no way that any person could be included in the number of Israel unless the atonement money was laid down. And my dear friend, God is teaching us there the great truth that the only way to be numbered among God's people is through the merits of Christ. It's essential that the Savior should have died. His ransom price was not an alternative to something else. It's not an optional matter. It is a law of God. It's the revelation of God. The ransom must be given. The atonement must be made. The blood of Christ must be shed. The Lord did not die some other way. He died only a death that involves the shedding of His precious blood. You stop and think about that. And I say this reverently. The Lord was not strangled. He could have been. The Lord was not clubbed to death. He could have been by men. But no. The Lord died in a particular way that God had ordained from all eternity. By being lifted up on a cross, by being crucified as a sacrifice for sin, and therefore dying in that manner. But the point is that He died a death that involved the shedding of His blood. Because God had stipulated that only the blood makes atonement for the soul, and the blood must be shed. The very covenant of grace, in its whole revelation of Scripture, tells us clearly that a covenant, the covenant of God, is a bond in blood. And therefore, sinner, you've been shown tonight that without the precious blood being shed, no payment for sin has ever been made. God's justice demands a full payment for sin. We need to settle that right now. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 5, you see it spelled out there in a very clear way. God's justice does require a full payment for sin. Not one sin, not one iota of sin, not one ounce of sin can go unpaid for and a sinner hope to get into heaven. Every item of sin must be paid. Matthew 5, verse 25. We see it here in a very striking way. Look at what it says. Agree with an adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And the word for prison there refers to hell. Now, sinner, God is telling you tonight, you have an adversary, and there is a judge. And as you sit in this meeting in your sin, you're on the way to the great courtroom scene. You're on the way to that day when the judge will sit and the hearing will take place. And if you're found guilty, you will be delivered into this prison. And look at me at verse 26. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. What does the Lord mean by that? When He talks about sinners going to hell and remaining there until the last item is paid, He means this. He means this very plainly. The sinner will never escape. You know why? His debt to God is infinite. Do you understand that? Every sin that you've ever committed means that you owe an infinite debt to God. Just one sin. Just take one sin of yours and think about it tonight. Whatever it might be, you remember that that one sin has plunged you into a debt that can never be paid fully and entirely, simply because that one sin is against an infinite God, and therefore it requires an infinite payment, which means an endless payment. There's the reason why punishment a divine punishment is eternal. You know how people quibble about that matter, and they debate it, and they discuss it, and they speak against it, and they say God would never send anybody to hell, and they decry the whole concept of eternal punishment. And you know the reason why they do that? Because they don't understand the justice of God. And they don't understand the infinite being of God. We have sinned against an infinite God. And my friend, infinity is of such a nature that there's no end to it. That means the payment that we owe to God, there's no end to it. The sinner will never come out. There's no escape from hell. The price is of such a nature that he will be paying his debt forever. He will be making amends for his sin through his own personal suffering under the torments of the damned, and it will never cease. Do you understand ever what hell is and what the torment of hell is? It's the sinner paying his debt, satisfying God's justice. And unceasingly so, because of the nature of sin and the nature of God. But when our Lord Jesus Christ died, here's the glorious thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave a payment that was essential in the sense that it paid the full price for sin. The price has been paid. It was required of God. Justice demanded it. But that's the whole very heart of our message tonight. The ransom for the soul has been made, as it says in Job 33 concerning the sinner, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And sinner, the ransom has been paid, and the ransom has been given, and therefore there's salvation for the likes of you. But notice something else here. This ransom's not only essential, but it's established. Look at verse 13. And notice what it says there. That this ransom is after the shackle of the sanctuary. Exodus 30, verse 13. God stipulated that it had to be according to the shackle of the sanctuary. What is that saying? Well, it's saying this simply. When the Israelite brought his half shekel of silver for the atonement money, it was weighed. And in the sanctuary, Moses had a special shekel. It had been minted and produced so that it was exact with regard to its weight and its value. Therefore, God established this shekel, and every man's shekel was weighed according to that particular shekel. Every man's half shekel was weighed in that standard of the shekel of the sanctuary. It had to be according to what God had established. And my friend, God is teaching you there that the way of salvation he has established. The way of atonement has been drawn up by God. The ransom for the soul has been fixed by the Lord. And that means this. The Lord does not lower his standard. That's the message. You see, man will say, well, surely God would not be so strict. Surely the Lord would allow something else, something less, something more, whatever. Because men love to think that they have a role to play in their own salvation, but God has fixed the standard. It's simply this. It's Christ, and it's Christ alone. God will accept nothing else. It's his blood, his atoning death. That's God's way. Those are God's terms. There's no other way to God but that. And I warn you tonight, sinner, if you don't come to God in his terms, then you will never meet him, and he will never meet you, and you will never be saved. You'll never be counted in. You will never be in heaven. God's standard is established. Notice as well that it is equal. Look at verse 15 now. It says this, And this is very striking. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. Notice that the ransom for the rich man was the same as for the poor man. There was an equality here. And when men meet together before God, and when they're accepted by God, it's on an equal footing, irrespective of their status in life. So you sit here tonight and you say to yourself, I'm not on the same level at all as so-and-so, and that person's a Christian, and God must be very pleased with an individual because of what he or she is in this life. You might know a Christian who is perhaps occupying a very high status in life, and you say to yourself, because that person's on that level, God is pleased with him or her. No, not at all. Come to Christ. Come, my dear friend, in all your soul's poverty, because that's how we must come. We have nothing to offer God. We have nothing to present to God. When it comes to this matter, we're all the same. We're all equal. We're all alike before God. There's nothing in us or about us that's of any value or any worth. And therefore the Lord says, Christ is sufficient for all kinds of men, the rich or the poor, the high or the low. Whatever your background, your class, your creed, your color, irrespective of all those things, God is showing you tonight that the Lord's ransom price is the same for all men. There's a wonderful statement in Romans 10, verse 12, and it says this: the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you see it tonight? The Lord does not come to bargain with you. He does not require of you something more or something less than he has established. He will not permit that. He says to you, come to me on my terms. It's the same for everybody, and you will be saved. That's the nature of the atoning work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, if you look at verse 15, notice that Christ's ransom is also exact. This verse says again, the rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. There's a thought there of exactitude. The rich not giving more, the poor not giving less. The Lord is pointing out very clearly that what Christ has done is exact and precise. And therefore the point is, it is sufficient. Do you understand that? The Lord's work doesn't need your supposed additions. This is where every false religion goes wrong. False religion tells men, and especially we think of Romanism and apostate Protestantism, and they teach their people, by your works, by your prayers, by your good deeds, God will be satisfied. And what they're teaching is, the Lord's work is not enough. It's not enough. It needs the supplementation of the works of men. And we've been shown tonight that that is a lie from the very pit of hell. Sinner, come to God just as you are. That's what the old hymn says. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Come on those terms, come on that basis, and you will be counted. Because the ransom that Christ has given is perfect and finished. It's exact. It's all that God demands. It is sufficient through and through. And therefore, sinner, come tonight and cast yourself upon Jesus Christ. And may I say this then, that when ransomed and numbered among God's people, the wrath of God is averted. Look at what our text says. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. And we've looked at that ransom. We've looked at the nature of it. It's all about Christ, about his death, his suffering, his blood. And when you bring that to the Lord, then it says this, that you're numbered in. You're counted in. It goes on to make this statement. There will be no plague among them when thou numberest them. What is the Lord teaching there? He's teaching there that when we are ransomed by the blood of Christ, we're numbered among God's people and will never come under God's terrible and eternal wrath. I want to be as plain tonight as I possibly can be. Sinner, you are on your way to hell. You're on your way to wrath. You're already subject to it. It abides upon your soul in the sense that there's only a breath between you and hell. There's only a heartbeat between you and damnation. That's how real it is. The thread of life, as we call it, that brittle thread, that slender thread, is what's keeping you out of the damnation of hell at this moment. Nothing but that. As we have assembled here this evening, and this meeting has taken its course so far, we have no idea of how many souls have in the duration of the time of this meeting been cut off into God's hell. For they have died in their sin. And they're lost forever. And they're under wrath. Because they lived without Christ and they died without Christ. They did not avail themselves of the atoning death of our Lord. They did not trust the Savior. They rejected Him. They died without Him. And now they are lost forever. Because we're being shown here that unless through the ransom price paid, we come to God in those terms and are numbered in, then we will never escape the plague. I mean the plague of God's terrible wrath. There was a day when David numbered Israel. You can read of this some other time in 2 Samuel 24. And we find that God sent a plague upon Israel. And it's believed by many that the reason why is because the atonement money was not taken on that occasion. And the plague of wrath came. The Lord says here that there be no plague among them. Do you see it, sinner? The only way to avoid the wrath of God is to be under the blood, trusting in Christ. No other way. Remember again Balaam's words. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. He refers there to the righteous. He says, let me die the death of the righteous. And of whom does he speak when he talks about the righteous? What is it to be righteous in the sight of God? Well, that very same chapter answers the question over there in Numbers 23, because it says in verse 21, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The person who is righteous, his sins are covered. And God no longer sees that person's sins. He sees the righteousness of his Son. He sees the value of the atoning blood. He sees the covering that is given through the atonement. God is satisfied. God accepts that soul. God pardons that sinner. And Balaam says, let me die that man's death, covered with the atonement, delivered from the curse of God, beneath the sufficiency of the work of the promised Christ. That's what he's saying. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let me escape hell. Let me escape the plague. Let me
Let me be freed from the curse of God through the atoning death of the promised Redeemer. That was Balaam's wish. But as I said a while ago, it was never realized, because Balaam died in his own sin, and he died among the enemies of God. He died fighting against God. He died under the curse. He did not avert the plague. He did not escape the wrath to come, because he was not resting in the atonement, and therefore he was not numbered among the people of God. If you look at our text once more, as we come to the end of our study this evening, notice with me that there must be a personal presentation of the ransom, a personal interest in that ransom, because it talks in our text this way. It says, "Then they shall give," listen, "every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord." It was a very personal thing. When this numbering took place, it was not a case where one man went up to Moses or up to the high priest and he took with him his own atonement money and somebody else's, maybe a group of other people. It was not by proxy. It was not in that form at all. Every man had to give a ransom for his own soul. Every man had to go personally and present the price that had been stipulated. And God is teaching us a very simple but a very important lesson there. You must come to Christ on your own. Nobody else can come to Christ for you. I can't as your preacher. A family member can't. They pray for you. They yearn over you. But they can't go any farther than that. And therefore, sinner, get it straight tonight. If you do not come on a personal, individual, conscious, deliberate basis to the Lord and present to Him that your faith is in Christ and your trust is in the Lord's atoning death, then you will never be saved. Salvation is a personal matter. Every man must give a ransom for his own soul. The Lord told Moses, thereby he's teaching this truth. Let me ask you very simply, my friend, is this true of you? Have you come to Christ? Or even, may I put it this way, knowing that you have never come to Christ, will you come to Christ tonight? Your parents may be saved, but that will give you no standing with God. A husband, a wife, whatever your situation, that man, that woman, that husband, that wife, they may be saved. But that doesn't save you. It must be personal. You must take the step. You must come to Christ. You must approach God and say, "I bring to thee Christ's sacrifice as the atonement for my sin. I present before thee, O God, the fullness and the sufficiency and the merit of the Lord's atoning death. And there I place my trust. And there I cast myself. And there I throw myself. And there I rest. Even for eternity itself. And I would therefore urge you to come to the Savior this very night. And bring the ransom with you. Come resting in the blood of the Lamb and the finished work of Calvary, and make that your hope and your confidence for all of God's eternity. Because without that,
Let's get it straight tonight. Without that ransom, you'll never be counted in. You'll never avoid the wrath of God. You'll never be numbered among the Lord's people. You'll be numbered in the visible congregation like this. People may see you coming and going from this house or whatever place of worship it might be, and they say, well, there's a man, there's a woman, and that person must be saved. And yet that's no guarantee. You may be counted in the visible sense, but if you're not in Christ, you're still lost. And until you come personally and you rest in God's dear Son, you will remain lost and you will perish forever beneath the wrath of a sin-hating God. So, sinner, come tonight. Come at once and trust His mercy. Rest in the atonement and enjoy peace with God through Christ and through His blood. Let us bow together before the Lord. As you unite our hearts in prayer, as we just quietly continue in God's presence and we think of what we have considered here and the great need that there is for a ransom for the soul, it's found in Christ, as we have noted. The wrath of God will be avoided if we trust in Christ. But there must be that personal approach, that personal faith in God's dear Son. And as my appeal to your heart this evening, that you will take that step, that you will bring Christ before God and say, Christ is my only hope, and in Him I trust for eternity. There are those here tonight who need the Savior. And I want you to know, my friend, that I will be very delighted to sit down with you and open God's book and point you to Christ and lead you to the Lamb. And I urge you, therefore, to come to the Savior this night. When others have gone and the meeting is over, I'd be glad to give you all the time that you need to open up God's book and speak with you about these things. But you must take that step. You must indicate your need. You must seek the Lord personally. And may you do that even this night for the Lord's glory. Father in heaven, we pray that the Holy Spirit will apply the word, that He will save the soul, that He will bring sinners to the Lord Jesus. Do that work, O God, we pray. Let it happen this evening in some poor sinner's heart. O Lord, may there be a closing in with Christ, and may there be a seeking of the Lord. May there be a closing with the Redeemer as the Holy Spirit gives grace. Hear and answer prayer. O Lord, save this night. Save the lost one, we pray. Gather souls to the Lord Jesus. Part us now with Thy blessing and in Thy fear and favor. And may Thy good and gracious hand be upon us. For we pray this in Jesus' name, and for His sake and for His everlasting glory.